It's Julian Assange's first extradition hearing, but don't expect a quick resolution.
A lot of lawyers still think it could take a couple of years for all this to play out.
And Attorney General William Barr refuses to submit to a second day of questioning, sparking outrage from Democrats.
He is terrified of having to face a skilled attorney.
Plus, the Fed holds interest rates steady.
Our outlook, and my outlook, is a positive one, is a healthy one.
This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, an update on just where things stand with the WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange. Here's what you missed. After a pretty contentious Senate hearing, Attorney General William Barr refused to appear for a second day of questioning in front of a House panel. Mr. Barr disagreed with Democrats over the format of the appearance. That refusal prompted quite a bit of anger from the House Judiciary Chair, Jerry Nadler of New York.
The Attorney General has a nerve to try to dictate, and the administration has a nerve to dictate our procedures. It's simply part of the administration's complete stonewalling of Congress, period. And what the ranking member is saying is that by determining how we'll proceed, we are stonewalling, as if it's our choice that he should not come.
Separately, the Justice Department declined to turn over an unredacted version of the Mueller report that had been subpoenaed by the House committee. Mr. Nadler threatened to hold Mr. Barr in contempt of Congress for the refusal. And as expected, the Federal Reserve kept its target federal funds rate steady at the conclusion of its two-day policy meeting yesterday. During a press conference, Chair Jay Powell said the committee felt that many of the issues that had concerned investors and economists earlier this year had muted.
At the start of the year, a number of cross-currents presented risks to the outlook, including weak global growth, particularly in China and Europe, the possibility of a disruptive Brexit, and uncertainty around unresolved trade negotiations. While concerns remain in all of these areas, it appears that risks have moderated somewhat.
Plus, $4.5 billion isn't bad, especially if you're Qualcomm. In an interview with us, Chief Executive Steve Mollenkopf said that the chipmaker could receive anywhere from $4.5 to $4.7 billion from Apple. This is part of a settlement over the infringement of intellectual property rights that was agreed to last month. After hours yesterday, shares in the company dipped after the company reported a revenue decline in its second quarter results. Qualcomm blamed economic weakness in China and the delay of the rollout of the next generation wireless technology. Now, our main story this morning. We're going to catch you up with just what exactly is happening with the WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange in London. To bring you up to date, in 2012, Mr. Assange took refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London after claiming asylum. But earlier in April, Ecuador abruptly withdrew its asylum. That paved the way for Mr. Assange to then be arrested. Yesterday, he was sentenced to 50 weeks in prison in the UK for violating bail. The current editor of WikiLeaks wasn't pleased with the judge's decision.
The sentencing here today is an outrage and it's vindictive in nature. And it doesn't give us a lot of faith in the UK justice system for the fight ahead.
Today, the focus moved to extradition. Protesters gathered outside the Westminster Court where the hearing was held. Now, it was a largely procedural hearing, with Mr. Assange declining to surrender himself for extradition to the U.S. So what next? Jason Douglas has been following the twists and turns from London. So first things first, Jason, Mr. Assange will be spending some time in jail, in the U.K. at least.
That's right. So he was sentenced on Wednesday to 50 weeks in jail for jumping bail in relation to these charges brought against him in Sweden, dating back to 2012, where he was accused of rape, and I think other sexual offences as well. But the much bigger thing hanging over Julian Assange's head is, of course, this extradition request from the United States, who have charged him in federal court with computer hacking in relation to the big WikiLeaks dump of diplomatic cables and lots of other classified documents back in 2010. This can be a lengthy process in the UK. the authorities have made a bit of an effort to streamline the extradition process after a chap called Gary McKinnon. The extradition hearing for him took well over 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah. It took.
Sorry, can we take a step back here? This man was held in limbo for 10 years, not knowing if he could stay or go, essentially?
He was. Mr. McKinnon's case was a little bit unusual. He was also a computer hacker and had broken into the Pentagon. But he also suffered from Asperger's syndrome, wasn't a very well guy. And so this sort of went back and forth between the courts and appeals and ministers and the UK government and the US authorities, of course, for almost 10 years. Eventually, the extradition request was refused because of Mr. McKinnon's health. Mr. Assange isn't quite in the same position. As I mentioned, the UK authorities have tried to streamline the extradition request after that McKinnon debacle, as it were. A lot of lawyers still think it could take a couple of years for all this to play out. There will be an extradition hearing. Mr. Assange is likely to appeal. This is likely to go back and forth a little bit, so it could be a while before the US finds out his fate.
So he'll do jail time for 50 weeks here in the UK, and if it hasn't been sorted by then, where does he go?
Right. So he was sentenced to 50 weeks in jail. The judge said he will serve 25 and then probably be released under supervision, under license, as they say here in the UK. So during that time, we might well get the first sort of extradition hearing. Then there will be appeals. The other thing in this is Sweden. So they have decided that they might. The Swedish prosecutors recently said, after Assange was arrested last month in April, that they were going to look again at the sexual allegations against him from back in 2012. So that is yet another thing hanging over his head. You know, we might find out more from the Swedish authorities in the coming weeks, but the question for the UK courts might end up being, should we extradite him to Sweden or should we extradite him to the US first? Sweden is part of the European Union, is subject to the European arrest warrant, which is a much quicker process than the lengthier extradition between the UK and the US. So who knows what will happen?
This sounds incredibly complicated and like we're not going to get an answer for many, many months to come.
No, I think that's right. I think Mr. Assange's fate won't be decided anytime soon.
For all of our coverage of the Julian Assange case, you can head to WSJ.com. On to markets. All three main indices closed lower yesterday following that Fed decision, even with those upbeat comments from Mr. Powell about the health of the U.S. economy. But despite this, the 2019 market rally looks set to continue. Our global markets reporter, Stephen Rosolillo, breaks down the Fed's decision and explains why investors aren't too concerned.
The Fed took markets a little bit by surprise on Wednesday after Fed Chairman Jerome Powell basically said that he was comfortable leaving interest rates unchanged for the time being. And there was a little bit of an expectation building in the market that perhaps the Fed would cut interest rates in the coming months, which would add sort of another stimulus to this big rally that we've seen in U.S. stocks and risky assets across the board. So the fact that the Fed said that it was going to take a step back and keep things unchanged was a little bit surprising. Now, I don't believe this is going to be a huge hindrance to the rally that we've seen this year. In 2018, for instance, the Fed raised rates 4 times, and that was really detrimental to the markets and market performance last year. But this year, it's been quite the opposite. The Fed has really taken things slow. They're watching the economic data to see what they do next. And really, things have been looking quite positive. On the data front, things have looked quite strong. Earnings have been pretty solid. And so looking ahead, it seems like even though the Fed is going to take things slower and the market kind of sold off a little bit on Wednesday, don't believe it's going to be a huge hindrance to the rally going forward.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. The British bank Barclays will hold its investor meeting. Barclays is one of the last full-service banks in Europe that competes with the likes of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. But not everyone agrees with CEO Jess Staley's vision for the bank. That isn't helped by his relative status as an outsider. He's American. Expect a showdown today between Mr. Staley and Edward Bramson. He's a British-born activist investor who wants Barclays to scale back its ambitions. Mr. Bramson also wants a seat on the board. Plus, the House of Representatives will vote today on a largely symbolic bill. This is to block the Trump administration from pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. The measure looks unlikely to pass the Senate, and it's mostly seen as a move that will give Democrats, who are divided on a series of other climate issues, something that they can rally around. Finally, we reported that the family of a Chinese student paid $6.5 million to secure a spot at Stanford. This was the largest amount paid to William Ricksinger. He's the college consultant at the heart of the college admissions scandal. The family was connected to Singer by a Morgan Stanley financial advisor who's now been fired. Have you been following the case? What do you think should happen to the students or parents who paid money? Tweet us at WSJ Podcast or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.